We are back at a rather noisy Pleasant Street Tea Company today. I say that only because the music is not what I'm used to. Hi, Heather.
Hi, Rick. Yeah, it's not our usual selection, is it?
No,
yeah.
No. It's usually pretty eclectic, and it's kind of weird. We're at the Pleasant Street Tea Company, as we usually are, and Heather has been away for a week, and you went down to, we talked with you last week, from Novi, Michigan, and maybe a quick recap, because you gave us a lot of great details.
Yeah, I was in Michigan's 2nd Congressional District, and we were interviewing the candidates there who are running for the 2018 congressional election. And we did not reach the Republican. That seems to be a theme, I have to say.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that is a theme. So we've covered two districts now. And what the theme is that the Republican not only will not talk to us, but will not talk to any of their constituents. So in New Jersey 11, the Rodney Frelinghuysen, the incumbent, has not spoken to a constituent for basically 4 years. And I saw over the weekend they were covering him at some barbecue, and a citizen came up to him and said, "Rodney, why won't you hold a town hall?" And he just stared her down in a mean way. That was the quote in this piece I was reading. Mm-hmm. And then David Trott, who is the incumbent in this district of Michigan I was just in last week, he ran into a citizen in the airport, and that person said to him, "Why will you not speak to us?" And he said, "If you want your congressman to speak to you, move."
Okay, this is a representative republic, huh? Okay.
Right.
Very interesting.
So that's a theme. But we did speak to the two Democrats. At this point, there are two Democrats running against David Trott in Michigan. One is Haley Stevens, who grew up in the district and was chief of staff under the Obama administration for running the auto bailout, which is really interesting. Mm-hmm. And then Fehrood Saad, this lovely woman who also grew up in the district. Her family are immigrants. They're Lebanese immigrants, and they started a meat market in Detroit. And, you know, just a classic American success story. And she also worked in the Obama administration for the Department of Homeland Security.
I love the story you told me about the elderly housing project, when they would have someone come in to talk politics and the ground rules that were set up.
Basically, be nice. Mm-hmm. You know, you can speak about your history and speak about your platform, but you cannot speak about your adversaries. So, adversaries, sorry.
Yeah. Adversary. Well, that's the English word. I'm going to do that on left, right, center. We're going to do exactly that. We're going to take that cue and run with that. One thing I found interesting over the weekend, going to different events, talking with some Republicans, it's interesting how, and I must say it's a turning point for me anyway in terms of observation. Several of my former colleagues and friends who were avid Trump supporters have jumped ship. And some other conservative, I know a lot of fiscal conservatives who are saying it's absolutely scary the way that he is treating the media. And they are saying it's reminiscent of something they saw, you know, back in the 30s. We won't have to bring that up again. But the fact that local avid Trump supporters are beginning to jump ship leads me to believe that there are further crises coming, I think.
I think so. And these two congressmen I'm speaking of, David Trott and Rodney Frelinghuysen, they clearly have felt a lot of pressure from their communities, mostly around the Affordable Care Act and the repeal and replace. And that seems to really be the issue that has, you know, singed their hairs, apparently.
Well, I think the interesting thing about that is everything, I don't know enough about it, but over the years, and especially this year, I've seen and heard that Democrats out of Washington in Congress have said, "Yeah, there's a lot wrong with the Obamacare. There's a lot wrong with it, and we're willing to work on it."
Exactly. But the fact that they were, by all accounts, shoving through a really failed piece of legislation and something that could hurt a lot of Americans is the thing that is really ringing in these districts.
Okay, well, I can't wait to hear this stuff now. Do you have any update on when these blogs, these interviews will be available so we can listen to them?
Yes, we are going to West Virginia next week, and that is our third district, and then we are actually sitting down in a podcast studio and really producing these podcasts.
Okay. Now, if I'm a neutral voter or an undecided voter, how are we going to hear the Republican side? Do you have anybody lined up at all who's willing to talk to you?
Yes. Well, this is a problem. We are actually trying very hard to find Republicans in the districts. And there, I spoke to a woman in Michigan who is very much a Trump supporter, very much an anti-Hillary person. And so we have one very solid Republican voice from that community. We're trying to find people from this community. You know, but it's hard. And this is another interesting theme, because we approach these people saying, you know, we are two moms from Massachusetts, and they actually pretty quickly assume we're Democrats. But exactly. But we say we're two moms, and we really want to just talk to you. We really just want to hear how you, what you're thinking about. And there's just this impressive amount of paranoia, is the only word I can say. We went to the Michigan State Fair, and we walked up to the Michigan State Republican Party table, and the people behind the table looked like me, you know, highlighted blondes with red lipstick, okay? So we all look basically the same. And we smiled, we introduced ourselves, we said, we'd like to talk to you, and their immediate reaction was, who's paying for you? Who's the money behind you?
Of course, that is.
So now I said to my colleague, Nisi, when Obama was in office for 8 years, if there was a table set up at a state fair with the Democratic Party behind that table, Do you think when someone, a Republican, walked up and said, may I speak to you, do you think they would have said, who are you working for? You know, this is, sure, you have to answer that phone?
Yeah, hold on.
Yeah, I've always been suspect of that when they say demonstrators are paid by somebody and, you know, the people come in are paid by somebody. So that's interesting. So
it's, what's interesting to me is their guys are in office. Their guys are running the whole country. They have all the power. What are they afraid of? Why won't they? Why don't they want to talk to people? What is what's the obstacle there?
So was this did you guys have a potluck? Did you talk to me about that last Thursday?
Yes, we did have a potluck. It was a beautiful potluck in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. It was at a woman's home. She opened her doors to us. Everyone brought dishes. The best one was the Detroit Free Press potato salad.
Ooh, I think we talked about it.
Yeah, right. That's right. Okay. I think I told you that. So that'll be up. There were a bunch of activists at the potluck. We did try to invite Republicans, but it's kind of hard to talk to them, as I said. But the majority of the people at this potluck were working with an organization called Voters Not Politicians, and they are trying to get a ballot question up in November to end gerrymandering. It's a citizens action group that is trying to propose that the state of Michigan has an independent commission deciding these districts, because these districts are so gerrymandered.
Okay. Well, can't wait to hear when the podcast comes out and to see this online and get some reading materials as well. What about to the back to the, we're in the top 50 and we're counting it down now. I think we're close to top 10.
We are. We're at 11 and 10.
Oh, okay.
So now I did a little research very quickly on 11 and 10 because they are coming from a New England girl and a New England guy. They're a little bit obscure, but let's go with this. I find them really, really interesting. Rendang from Indonesia is number 11. Now, what I love about this dish, and I might have to make it this week, is it comes from a region in Indonesia called Minangkabau. That is western Sumatra. And the most interesting thing about this region is that it is matrilineal. So the family name and land are passed down through the mothers to the daughters. And it's one of the oldest matrilineal societies in the world. How do you like that, right?
Yeah, okay.
So rendang is a ceremonial dish. It's basically beef simmered in coconut milk with lemongrass and turmeric and ginger and all kinds of spices.
It sounds almost edible.
I think it's delicious. Okay. I can tell you that. It's absolutely delicious. And there are four principles to rendang that apply to philosophy. So this is such a complicated dish, right?
I know, it's amazing.
It's just basically stewed beef with coconut milk and lots of really wonderful aromatics. But the meat represents the revered elders. The coconut milk represents the teachers and the poets. The chili in the dish represents the clerics and the religious leaders. And the spice mix represents the people. Isn't that great?
I love it because it reminds me of at Passover, the cedar meal. Yeah. You know, where every everything is significant. It signifies something culturally. I love it.
Yeah, I love that, too. Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
I know. So this is one of those dishes. Number 10 is a dish from Gabon in West Africa and Angola. It's called chicken mwamba. It is chicken with okra, tomatoes, and chilies, and palm oil. It has lots of palm oil. And a lot of these African stews have been translated in the United States as a chicken dish or sometimes a meat dish with peanut butter. They substitute peanut butter for the palm oil.
Okay.
But this palm oil is a very special thing. It's red palm oil. It's not palm kernel oil. So this oil comes from the fruit of the palm tree, not the kernel. So it therefore has a different cholesterol level, and it's supposed to be much better for you. It's a very red fruit, and we all know that any vegetables or fruits that are really bright in color or deep in color are rich in vitamins.
Oh, yeah, we all know that.
Yeah. So, you know that now.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore...
Well, I retain it is another question.
You know, I was Googling the health benefits of red palm oil, and there are many.
Okay.
So, and yet another reason to prepare number 10 on
now,
the world's best 50
These two
dishes.
Are not like potato chips and potato
salad. So, give me number 10 again. I love the musical name of it.
Okay, chicken mwamba.
There should be some music to that. It
right?
sounds celebratory.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm sure it's a celebratory dish. Mm-hmm. Probably, if you have a chicken to put in this chicken mwamba, you're feeling pretty good that
okay,
week in Gabon. That's what I'm guessing.
I see.
Okay, so what's on the agenda now? What's for you next, you and Nisi?
So we go to West Virginia next week. We're going to West Virginia's 2nd District. It's talk about gerrymandering. It's a crazy shaped district. It looks like a caterpillar, and it runs east to west across the state, and it kind of squiggles.
Okay.
It takes 4.5 hours to get from one end to the other. Oop, sorry.
Well, we're getting
rings all over the place here today. Do you have to answer that?
No, I don't.
Okay.
So we're going to have to really hustle to cover the whole district, but we are starting in Charleston, West Virginia, on Monday, and we have an interview.
Yeah, right.
And we have an interview with Aaron Scheinberg, who is the Democratic candidate running against Alex Mooney, who is the Republican incumbent.
All right, so we'll talk to you on the road next week?
Yes, and hopefully I have lots of great food ideas, right?
I'm sure you will.
West Virginia?
I'm sure you will. That's our Heather Atwood. This is MSONewsSports.com.